Roni's Own Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roni. I have the extreme pleasure of having Mr. Wayne Henderson step into the Roni Zone. Morning, Wayne. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's nice here in the Roni Zone. Very spacious.
Well, we put out fresh fruit.
And, oh, thank you.
We dusted the table, so we're trying to get it ready for you. But first of all, Wayne is a cool cat. Now let me tell you how I kind of stumbled upon Wayne. I'm a bit of a Lost fan, say the least. And I remember listening to Cliff Ravenscraft's Lost podcast, and I heard this voice. It sounds like a religious experience, but just wait. I heard this voice, and I found out that it was you, Wayne Henderson. And so things have kind of just progressed, and I think I hooked up with you on Twitter, and then I found that you had just a bunch of shows. So give me five words to describe you, if you can.
You're going to make me count at this hour.
Three. Who's counting?
Okay. Christian, voice actor, podcaster, tech junkie. I lost count.
Okay. But that's good. That gives everybody a really good idea. Now, I'm going to geek out just for a minute, because you, my friend, you are a star in my eyes. Now, hold on just a minute. I was born in San Bernardino, and I've tried to forget about that. But anyway, I was. And I listened to this radio station called KCAL, and they played some rock and roll music. Some would scare my mom, and some would not. And you were a disc jockey. So kind of take me back a little bit and kind of walk me through your audio trek. How did it all start for you?
It actually started way back in Utah in my basement of my house when I was like 10, 11 years old, playing with my dad's reel-to-reel tape recorder. Me and my nephew would get together and pretend to be DJs. Then later on in the late 80s, went to broadcasting school at Fullerton College, which has a great program. I believe they still do. And then ended up working part-time at quite a few radio stations. Most of the time I was hired on at country stations, and I'm not really sure why, because I wasn't really into the music, but that's who hired me. But also for about a year and a half, 2 years, I was a weekend overnight guy at 96.7 KCAL Rocks, playing Ozzy and Zeppelin and all of that in the middle of the night. And then last station I was out in the Palm Springs area playing some country music. And then they decided that on weekends they wanted to go fully automated and let all the DJs go. So looking for something where I could get some creativity out. And about that same time, I was looking in the Press Enterprise newspaper. There was an article on a mutual Twitter friend, Steve Webb, who was doing this new thing called podcasting. And I read all about it, and I said, this could be the thing. That, and also trying to get some equipment and getting started doing some voiceovers part-time. That and the podcasting kind of took off all at once.
Now, just – I think you mentioned something about it. There's something about a young boy with a cassette recorder and recording his own voice. And I remember I dismantled and used many – many a cassette recorder, and I was a bit of a techie even before tech was even really around, because I was thinking about this the other day, that I created an old back in 79 I think it was, or 80, a really crude Star Wars audio drama, and it was on cassette. And what I did, and this is, it sounds so, and I don't even know how I came upon it, but I remember recording one layer of sound and then covering up the erase head with a piece of tape and paper, so that I could take it off and then just kind of continue on. And I hooked up a couple of cassette players together with some cords. And I, for me at that time, I did my first multi-track recording. So it's interesting how, you know, your path kind of led you from, you know, just kind of tooling around to, you know, going to Fullerton, going into radio, and then, you know, going into podcasting. And yeah. It's interesting how the cycle is, it is cyclical, because there was a KLSX here in Los Angeles. They basically just shelved all their, you know, shock jock radio DJs after Howard Stern, you know, went to Sirius. They figured they would kind of capitalize on and bring in Lycus and bring in Adam Carolla and bring in all these people. And then all of a sudden they said, no, it's top 40 dance, so we're going to get rid of all the DJs. So, you know, when I first heard Jack FM, that whole concept of just automatic whatever, it's been happening before, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is what you said. But I think there is something really critically important about podcasting as far as real people doing real shows.
Exactly.
What was your inception of your first podcast? What did you really want to do?
It was a work in progress, and in ways it still is. I mostly just wanted to put some stuff out there and kind of throw it up against the wall and see what would stick, and then kind of go from there. At first, for whatever reason, I thought, well, you have to have just one show. You can't have more than one. And I've changed since then. So back then, my initial thing is, okay, I want to talk about the Green Bay Packers. I want to talk about Lost. And I want to talk about ballroom dancing. And then just maybe do some rants, but not be real over the top with them. So we had Wine with Wayne. And like I said, I thought you were only allowed one show. So I threw it all into one show.
Okay. I think everybody does that at first. And then they feel, and they probably read an interview or something, and they go, you know, you can split these segments out. Because some people wouldn't like everything like you. So it's just my fans calling. So anyway, I'm busy right now. You know, I'll pick up that phone. Hello? No, it's the key. Okay, so anyway, I think what's interesting is, like you said, the idea evolved. And exactly. You started off with a multi-topic show. And who were your early heroes that you kind of followed?
In the podcasting world?
Sure, yeah.
First would be Todd the Geek, because for what he was, I guess, one of the bigs at that time, summer of 2005. And then also hearing that he wrote, I believe, the first book on how to do podcasting. So I listened to his show. He had lots of ideas. And then I, of course, bought his book. Some of the other early ones, of course, everybody said that you had to listen to the name escapes me now. Adam Curry's podcast. And then shortly after that, I found out, there's already a podcast all about Lost, Ryan and Jen's The Transmission Podcast.
Correct.
So I think those were the three that I really listened to all the time when I first got into it. And then shortly after that time was when iTunes adopted podcasting capabilities, and it just made it so much easier to track down stuff instead of using Podcast Pickle or whatever it was. And so then I was all over the place, more podcasts than I could listen to.
I have found this, and I just wondered if you really feel the same way, is when I was knee deep into it early on, right around that time, is I would sit down and kind of, you know, just be real excited about it. And people looked at me like I was crazy. And in retrospect now, when I look back, we're considered old dogs.
Isn't that funny?
We're considered early adopters. And so it was kind of no wonder that it was so hard back then. Is it easier now, or is it more difficult because there's so many thousand more shows?
I think for the most part, it's easier. I still am very thankful that iTunes adopted the podcasting, because it just makes searching for them and subscribing to them so much easier, especially when I'm talking to maybe people in the community, friends and family members. You know, it's hard enough, you know, Jeff, to try to explain what a podcast is. But, you know, back in the day when you had to get like that Juice program and cut and paste an RSS feed and all of that, it was, hey, now your fans are calling me. you'd have to cut and paste the RSS feed. So now at least I can kind of describe what a podcast is and then tell them, you know, they're free for the most part. Go into iTunes and just search. And pretty much there's a show for almost anything you want to listen to.
Now, you have a number of shows, and so let's kind of run them down for the folks that are listening. So if one or two or all of them pique their interest, they can definitely check them out. So there's the go ahead. Tell me each one.
Okay, probably the main show, at least the one that has the most listeners and garners the most conversation, and I think it's pretty obvious, is the Lost Casting with Wayne and Dan show, which used to be Wayne's Take on Lost. But, you know, when you get a co-host for something, when you're talking about a TV show, getting a co-host just makes it so much easier and runs so much smoother. And thank God for Skype and technology so it could all happen. There's also the Fringe Casting with Wayne and Dan podcast, based on the show Fringe, obviously. I've been kind of retweaking and trying to come up with new concepts and directions for not only my shows, but also my website. I want my voiceover journey podcast to be kind of like my flagship podcast. Mm-hmm. Not only about my own voiceover journey and trying to build up and hopefully someday being able to do it full time, but also for other kind of newbie voice actors to share their stories and where they're at and what they've done. I'd like that to be my flagship show. And we also have Christmas Memories, Past and Present. Sometimes I'll see a download or two, even in the middle of summer or spring for that one. And then there's the Tuning In with Wayne Henderson podcast, which is my original show. And I still talk about the Green Bay Packers and ballroom dancing. It's still kind of miscellaneous, but at least Lost and Fringe and voiceovers have spread out to have their own spot.
So saying all that, you're a busy guy. And you know, you're married and you have a family as well.
Yeah, it keeps me very busy.
So, and you dance, and you like the Packers. So there's all, and you work, and so there's all these segments in
right.
your life. How do you kind of put it all together? That's kind of the famous question for stuff like this.
I'm always looking for new and better ways to make it more balanced and make it more streamlined. You know, because, you know, obviously, you know, first you got to, you know, focus on your family and focus on your main job, you know, to pay the bills and provide the insurance and still not lose the focus of, you know, for me, going to church as well as weekly Bible study nights. But at the same time, for exercise, my wife and I do like to go out ballroom dancing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put on any of the clothes like you see on Dancing with the Stars. You just kind of, you don't go grungy, but, you know, business casual, and you go have a good time. And then you try to squeeze in the time to do the podcast as well. Like for the Lost in the Fringe show, since I record that on Skype with my co-host Dan, you know, we kind of just carve out a time. And those are pretty raw. There's hardly any editing. Whatever we end up with on Skype, you know, we'll put in some sound clips from the show. But for the most part, those are quick and dirty and put them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about voiceovers.
Okay.
Now, I think most people, when they consider, you know, I want to be a voice actor because maybe the tone of my voice is good, maybe to their mind, maybe they've been told.
Right.
What are like maybe the top five tips or maybe your top tips as far as somebody who actually really wants to do voiceover work?
Well, I would say, you know, do either, you know, some onstage acting at local theaters. Of course, if you can afford it, take some acting classes. I, you know, kind of on a thin budget, so I did some plays at the local theater and also my radio background. But of course, in voice acting, they always tell you, we don't want a radio announcer. Mm-hmm. We want somebody more like voice acting. And I think another big tip, and it really seems to be working even for some of the bigs in the voice acting community, is networking. Even if somebody's lucky enough to have an agent, you've got a network, you know, Facebook, Twitter. And I, in a lot of ways, you know, not making money from the podcasts, they are part of my networking and mixing it out there, because some of the voice acting jobs I've got over the past year have just been because somebody heard my podcast or an interview on another podcast or whatever, and then contacted me that way. So between that and Twitter and just getting out there, and you know, I myself, I haven't had the luxury of paying for a professional in-studio directed and produced voice acting demo. Mine that I've done, I just kind of try to focus and use whatever I've learned and record it in my home studio, and it's pretty good. But I still have the goal of saving together some money and having a professional direct and record me and really get a good demo together.
Well, I think what's nice is I've told this story before. It was when I first considered being a director or any type of entertainment, whatever, the first thought I had was, well, I have to go to Hollywood, or I have to, you know, go into radio, or I have to do something official. But what's really cool about digital everything is that if you do focus and you do really hone your craft, whatever it is you can do it basically in your bedroom. And, you know, I mean, we're just kind of talking right here, not having an agent and that kind of thing. But, you know, you've really had some really great steps to kind of move really outside of just a small sphere, just probably by networking and everything else. So I think it's really cool to see kind of where you've gone.
Yeah, it's really, you know, looking back on it, you know, I can see where God has opened up doors here and there. And I'm sure there's doors that have been opened that I either didn't see or refused to go through. But like you touched on, Jeff, with, you know, the internet, high-speed internet, and all the digital tools, it's really opened things wide open and made opportunities where in the past, like you said, it would be Hollywood or New York City, but not anymore.
Now, if someone is listening to this and they say, man, Wayne's got a great voice, I could really use him, and maybe I have a couple of shekels shaking around in my pocket, this and that, how can they get a hold of you for voice acting work?
Okay, and shekels, I'm sure PayPal has a conversion tool for those now as well.
Okay.
My main website, where I've actually tried to converge everything, is mediavoiceovers.com. And so I've got my voiceovers there, as well as the podcasts, and I'm trying to do more blogging as well. And that's mediavoiceovers.com.
I want to touch on kind of a slightly Jerry Springer-ish topic.
Okay.
It'll be okay. But as a podcaster, I think you need some skill to kind of combat negative feedback, and Cliff really did a fantastic job in covering that topic, getting in emails and different things. But in my circle and other things that I kind of keep a tab on, dealing with negative folks and negative comments and negative feedback is a tough road. And what is your plan when things come your way? How do you deal with that kind of thing?
And they do come your way. Yeah. No matter what you do. Unfortunately, I didn't have a plan up front, and I also have learned a lot from Cliff Ravenscraft, and I've paid for some consulting from him in the past as well, and just listening to his shows on how he deals with it, because I'm sure he gets a lot more than me just because he has a lot more listeners. And so I just try not to do any knee-jerk reactions when the, you know, cursing voicemail comes in, or scathing post that they actually want me to post to my website, and you know, it's not even relevant to anything. I just try not to do the knee-jerk thing. My brother-in-law has always, you know, said, you know, go with your second reaction. So I try to set it aside and wait till a second reaction comes to me, and then just try to, you know, shrug it off. And you know, there's not much I can really do about them if they don't leave a way to get back in touch with them, like Cliff has talked about recently, you know, just trying to smooth things over and maybe even turn them around. But I'm still looking for a good plan.
Well, I've been doing really a lot of thinking about this, because people that I care about and people that I listen to and people that I kind of follow just on the fringe, a little bit here and there on the fringe. See,
nice.
I think the first thing is, the one thing I've learned in my life, and it's a hard lesson, is not everybody will like you. And that
you
are your own person. And on this planet, I'm going to go religious just a little bit, is I think the Bible, one of the main themes is about relationships.
Oh, yeah.
That is the toughest part of life. You know, I mean, we can go really spiritual and talk about the Bible is really the reconnection of man to God. And this whole path, that's what the beginning of the book is about, in the end of the book. That's really what it's about. And then within that, there's these relationships with people. Some people get along, some people don't. And on this path, even from when you're born to when you die, I think you're here to not only find a connection with God, but also grow as a person and connect with people. I mean, those are those first two commandments, right? That Jesus said, love
exactly.
God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's really, I mean, I hate to kind of make things so easy, but I think it's about relationships. And so when you kind of brush up against people, that's when you're going to get these sparks sometimes, these emails and these posts. And people love that First Amendment, boy. Woo! They just go wild, you know? And
yes.
You don't know the day they're having. You don't know the life they're having. And you don't know what the meaning behind those letters in an email. And so I think it's a great advice. The second reaction is probably the best.
Yeah.
You know, take a walk or something like that. So, but anyway, I just want to touch on that, because what we're doing even right now, this is throwing our feelings, our thoughts, our lives, basically, in the public arena.
Right.
And
it out there.
And there are going to be people that don't like you. And there's going to be people that don't like you that won't take the time to email.
Thankfully.
So, you know, and I think we need to kind of consider that and get thicker skin, because it's to me, and I'm going to end with this. To me, it ends up like American Idol, is when you grow up and your mom says you're the best and you're the greatest singer. And oh my gosh, you know, everyone in our little block loves you. When you get in the big fish bowl in the ocean, that's when things become more honest and harder. So it's all about really realizing that you're on a path to learn, and then some people aren't going to like you, and it's a growth. That's really what, you know, you need to grow up and grow as a person. So it's that's kind of my Stuart Smalley or whatever that guy's thing is, just, you know, realize that, you know, podcasting is not tough, and I got to hand it to you, because Wayne, you're not just a podcaster, you're a Christian podcaster. And the target is on the front and the back.
That's for sure.
People, but just, you know, go ahead.
I was just saying, you got to be who you are, and no apologies for that. Just apologies on how I may decide to present it. So I do just try to present things with a nice, friendly, open attitude. And like you said, thick skin, you know, some people at first, I used to be the same way. I would think of it as a negative thing, kind of reptilian. But it's just, you know, like you said, you got to let some things just bounce off you. Mm-hmm. And exactly what you were talking about being in the bigger fishbowl, because, you know, way back in my younger days, oh, you should be in radio. Oh, and yeah. And then when you move up, and then exactly the bigger fishbowl thing. I like that analogy, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. I've done my public service announcement. Let's talk pretty specifically about Lost, about how Lost really changed television. Do you have any kind of thoughts about the effect of that?
Exactly. I agree. It's actually a few different things. I think that Lost, not only being what I think is one of the best shows that's ever been on television, but it came along at just the right time. I think that Lost really helped out podcasting, and in some ways, because there's so many podcasts about Lost, that podcasts have also kind of helped Lost, and they've got this relationship, and the fact that there's so many mysteries that give people so many things to talk about, it's really helped. And then, of course, DVRs at the same time really got into the fray at this point, so you know, people were time shifting it, watching things over. Things are in HD so that you can freeze frame and really check out all the minute details they may throw into an episode of Lost. And so I just think that Lost being great and then coming along at just the right time has just changed all kinds of things.
All right. That's going to end part one. And next time we're going to have part two. So come back and join us. See ya. Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.